Welcome to the Vineyard Church of Greater Portland podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Mario Mastin. For more podcasts and other resources, please visit www.vineyardportland.org.
I'm going to be talking about the Holy Spirit, so that's a great segue. Thank you, Herb. This morning, we are going to launch into the third message in our series, eight-part series, on the Holy Spirit. And we're going to think about the Holy Spirit and me. Not the Holy Spirit and me, the Holy Spirit in you and in me, okay? So for those of you that may not have been here over there since Easter time, we have begun this series. It's taking us kind of from Easter to Pentecost on the person of the Holy Spirit. And last Sunday, we kind of looked at the person of the Holy Spirit and asked, who is the Holy Spirit? Because the Holy Spirit is a who, not an it, all right? He is the person of God. And we looked at that last week and what his place is in salvation history. And why it's important for each of us, therefore, to be able to experience him. What I want to do this morning is think about our personal relationship with the Holy Spirit and go from the who to the how. How do we go about experiencing the Holy Spirit? In biblical terms, what does it mean, really, to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit? You know, each of us is in a journey, on a journey in life. Every single one of us is. And we experience in that journey lots of different people. We engage in lots of different activities. We go to lots of different places. And I would say that all of those experiences in some way, they're not necessarily all positive, but in some way those things enrich our lives. When we meet different people, we have different experiences, we engage in different activities, we go to different places. It enriches our life. But I want to speak to you this morning about an experience that is greater than all and any of those, and an experience that when you have this experience, which is an ongoing thing, by the way, not a one-off thing, it imbues all those other experiences you have with meaning and purpose and significance in a way that would be absent if you didn't have this experience with this person called the Holy Spirit. You know, it's God's desire and it's God's intention that every single person on this planet know him. Because he is their creator, he is their redeemer, and he is the one who will ultimately be responsible for their glorification if they find him through a relationship with Christ. That's God's desire and his intention for everyone. But for that to happen, we have to personally engage in an experience with the person of the Holy Spirit. And the good news is, as followers of Jesus, we can do that. And if you're here this morning and you're not a follower of Jesus, you can become a follower of Jesus by opening your heart to him, and you can experience God through the person of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. So the question is, how do we go about knowing and experiencing God through the Holy Spirit? Now, there was a guy a long time ago when Jesus was on the earth, when Jesus of Nazareth was walking this earth and engaged in his earthly ministry, and in fact, right toward the beginning of his ministry, there was a guy that came to him on one occasion, and many of you will be familiar with this episode in the life of Jesus I'm going to talk about, but this guy that came to see Jesus was pretty influential. He was a member of the Jewish ruling council. His name was Nicodemus. He was a Pharisee. The Pharisees were not only those engaged in leadership in the Jewish ruling council called the Sanhedrin, but they were the protectors of God's word. And they were very committed, very passionate about protecting, preserving, and promoting the Holy Scriptures. So this guy came to Jesus, and he came to him by night, actually. I think because he didn't want to come during the day and have people see what he was doing at that point in his life. He's kind of hedging his bets a little bit. But he came to Jesus by night and engaged in a conversation with Jesus. And in response to a question that Nicodemus asked Jesus about how to get into the kingdom of heaven, Jesus responded with words that open up for us the glory of this experience with the Holy Spirit. This is what Jesus said in response to Nicodemus' question. He said, "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." Let me read the last part of that again. "The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going." Can we talk to those guys in the lobby out there? I'm like getting a lot of, you know, if I can hear it from here, people back there can hear it. "The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." If you were a follower of Jesus this morning, you were born of the Spirit. Just as you were born naturally, so now you have been born spiritually, or if you like, supernaturally. The Holy Spirit has come to live in you, to change you, and then to work through you. He hasn't come just to be dormant. He hasn't come just to park inside of you. He's come to change you internally into the image of Jesus, and he's come to work through you. All three of those things, to reside in you, to dwell in you, to change you, and to work through you. As someone who is born of the Spirit, you are now equipped by God to be more attentive, more sensitive, and more aware of the Holy Spirit's presence in you and around you and operational in the earth. Like the wind in the analogy Jesus used when he was speaking to Nicodemus in his conversation that we just read, you can feel the Spirit. You can be sensitive to him. You have become sensitized to the Holy Spirit. You can feel the Holy Spirit as he moves. When he blows where he pleases, which is exactly what he does, Jesus says, just like the wind, in a very unpredictable way, when you open your heart and have welcomed the Spirit to live in you, you now have this extra awareness. You have been sensitized spiritually to God's Spirit wind. And when he blows across the path of your life, you know it. And as those born of the Spirit, you can go where he leads. Those that are not born of the Spirit cannot do that until such time as they are. But when you've been born of the Spirit, you can go where the Spirit leads. You can't predict where he's going, but you can go where he leads. So as you walk out this journey in life, what are the truths about the Holy Spirit living in you that are important to understand so you can experience him, so that you can, in fact, follow where he leads? I want to look at three of those this morning. The first is this, and we need to not just understand this with our minds, but apprehend this with our hearts by faith. It's this, that he is the Holy Spirit who loves me, and each one of us can say that and needs to apprehend that truth. He is the Holy Spirit that loves me. We have to grab hold of this truth if we want to experience a real relationship with God. If we really want to have a deeper relationship with God through the person of the Holy Spirit, we have to understand, as we said last week, that the Holy Spirit is God, but we have to know that the Holy Spirit, who is God, loves me, loves you. How God feels about his Son, expressed at Jesus' baptism, is how he feels about you and I as a son and daughter of God. Let me say that again. How God feels about Jesus, how he felt about Jesus and expressed that feeling at Jesus' baptism, is how God feels about you and me as his son and daughter. Let me unpackage that, because that's not a blasphemous statement. God feels the same way about you this morning. At Jesus' baptism, Matthew records these words. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water, and at the moment heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And we said last week, this passage here is thoroughly Trinitarian, because you've got the Son stepping into the waters of baptism, you've got the Holy Spirit descending on him as a dove, and you've got the Father from heaven speaking words of affirmation. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. Whom I love. With whom I am well pleased." Now notice those words from the Father. "This is my Son, whom I love, and with whom I am well pleased." Now these words were spoken by God the Father to Jesus the Son at his baptism, right at the beginning of his earthly ministry. They express so beautifully the Father's love for his Son and the unconditional nature of that love. But I want you to see something else. Notice that this happened before Jesus had performed one miracle, before he'd given one hillside preaching, before he had prayed one great messianic prayer, before any of that had happened. In fact, before Jesus had done anything in terms of his public ministry, before he had done anything to fulfill the mission of God for which he had been sent, the Father said, "This is my Son whom I love, and with him I am well pleased." Before anything else, God the Father